أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه المنتجبين. السلام عليكم. As Muslims, we know that we have a path and a way of life and a way of transaction that is the most perfect, the most usable in every circumstance by every human being and at all times. We know that the prophetic unveiling and the Quranic gift and the way of the life of the Prophet ﷺ is such that if we adopt it, if we live it, we have a safe journey in this world and an acceptable, agreeable, delightful arrival in the next. A mu'min, he who believes that we have not been created in this world just out of whimsicality, that this world has a purpose, and our minds and our bodies and our hearts are instruments to realize and live the perfect, the correct, the expected purpose. If you are a mu'min, if you have faith, then Allah will lead you, will guide you in order to reach a point of knowledge that Islam is the path of success. And yet we notice so many failings, so many failures, so many disappointments, and therefore you find so many Muslims are pessimistic and unhappy and confused and in many ways aggressive and disturbed. The foundation for the present situation in the world is the same foundation as it has always been. It's very simple. Discord and conflict arises with creation, because creation manifests based on opposites which complement each other. This life, next life. Your inner, your outer. Meaning and form. At the moment we are listening in order to enhance our inner knowledge. We want to know how is this world, or how is this earth, or how is this cosmos ruled and governed. We are concerned about meaning. Therefore we want to sit quietly and have least involvement or concern about the form, which is your body. So everything in this life is based on inner, outer, meaning, form, earthly, heavenly. Therefore, this business of discord or conflict is a natural situation of existence. You breathe in, you breathe out. On the face of it, these two breaths are opposites, but in reality, they complement each other and they meet. The same thing are our worship habits. It is constriction, expansion. During the month of Ramadan, it's constriction, abstention, essentially from material inputs such as food or drinks or other things, but far more important is also mental inputs, mental disturbances, so that you have restricted the poison that comes to you all the time from the working place, from the dunya. We need both. The dunya is a stepping stone to the akhirah. You do not deny it. You deny attachment to it. Excessive involvement, excessive obsession. This is what you need to deny. So that you are in this dunya, but not overwhelmed by it. This is the cause to celebrate, that we Muslims have the code, but whether we live it or not is another issue. Over the past 200-300 years, the Western civilization gave excessive attention to the outer form. through science, technology, materialism, and the inventions that to do with material services and money markets and finance and so on, they have ended up by 150 years ago, more or less, have taken the whole world and exploited and exploiting the whole world. Anything they look at, they immediately think, how can I put it to use? Whether it's a tree or a cow or a human being, how can it be useful for me to earn more or make more? So that obsession with possession has become global. And many, many, many of us, also Muslims, have taken on that ethos, but we also have we are Jum'ah Muslims. You know, you go once a week and to find yourself so far away from that delight. Why? Because simple life had now been replaced by a very complicated system of rulership. 100 years ago, there were hardly any so-called Muslim countries. There were Muslim communities, there were towns, there were cities, and many of them had someone in that town who may not have been the political ruler, but he was probably a most wise or enlightened person. So even the rulers would have listened to them. But no longer. With central governments, now we have Muslim despotic rulers, pretending that they are also following in the footsteps of the Prophet. That is why we are ashamed in many ways whenever we identify ourselves with some of our so-called misleading leaders. It's not the fault of Islam. It is the fault of us not having committed ourselves to transformation. A lot of information, very little transformation, and being enlivened by the prophetic way of life. So I am exceptionally optimistic, and I see the most bright future for Islam. The reason is simple. The Western materialistic pursuit has reached almost to its limit. There's nowhere more to go. There is not a piece of the sky or the earth or the ocean that has not been abused and exploited and overfished and overpoisoned by gas. So after that, where do you go? We are seeing the peak of a new, if you like, human arrogance that we are in control. It is anything that we look at, how can we use it, abuse it, exploit it, and so on. From this extreme, there can only come the other side. That why should we have more? Indeed, you find nowadays in the West, in many of the fields of business, industry, and of course also the health sciences, people becoming minimalists. Less is better. This so-called upward mobility that the Western education has pushed people to over the last few decades really implies outward increase. An outward increase has to bring in inward decrease, because you are one person. If you spend 20 hours a day on exploiting or exploring or concern with the outer, you have no time for your heart. Why I am so optimistic and I see glory and celebration for Islam is because the definition, the theory, as well as the practice of who are you works. You are a ruh within a body that is a kingdom. If you rule over that kingdom, then you are truly representing the one and only ruler. If you are correct and courteous to your body, to your senses, to your mind, to your intellect, then you are living according to the intended way of a khalifa. Ready to leave this world, ready to take your responsibility. Serve others who are less fortunate than you, and you will begin to discover there is no otherness. We are all the same. We want contentment. We want peace. We want everlasting joy. we want happiness. It does not come by this onslaught of the outer pursuit, more and more, and control them more. 100 years ago, colonialism was based on brute force. Now it is entirely based on electronic withdrawal of a certain IMF funding or World Bank funding. Far more effective colonialism, without a face to it. You're now no longer desirable. Out you go. Change of government, change of regime, whatever, whatever. This imbalance, constant, continuous, excessive outer emphasis will come to an end, because we are all the same human beings. It is not that somebody in Mexico or in America or in Germany are not also seeking the same thing. Everyone is seeking reliable happiness. But when everybody is put through the mill of constant dependence on insurance and reinsurance and outer security, they will end up inwardly insecure. You cannot have a greater secure people outwardly than, if you like, the Western systems. But the majority of them are still inwardly insecure. The more they accumulate, the more they become vulnerable, because they get used to that power and mimicking God in His ultimate power, but they cannot conceive any reduction. Whereas we Muslims, we celebrate reduction. Salat is nothing other than reduction. Acknowledging Allah is greater than ever you can think, you can imagine. So you are a nothing. And then you admire Allah's attributes. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Glory be to Allah's qualities. And then you describe some of them. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So we will be failed as Muslims if you do not see the Rahmaniyah in every situation. If you are a businessman and you have lost a deal, if you do not see the Rahmah in that, for those times, those moments, you have left the prophetic path. Because Allah says, there is no situation without it encompassing my Rahmah. So, these are the transformative elements of our deen. If we truly live them, we will be alive. And this life will only be a small reflector of eternal life, to which we return after leaving that which is not ours, the so-called body, and all the incredible dominion within it. So how can you not celebrate this submission? How can any intelligent person not be thrilled beyond thrill that what Allah has given them, given us, is beyond generosity? But if you're looking for pleasures, then you will equally pay a price for displeasure. These are Allah's laws, and you and I are not going to change them. Simply because we have a name called Muhammad or Ali or whatever, is not going to change. You will be subjected to the same laws out of Allah's constant, perpetual generosity and love for all of His creation. Therefore, we have to trod gently in this world. We are guests of Allah. It's not only you recite it a few times when you're going to Hajj. You are a guest all the time. Did you invent the air and the balance between oxygen and all the other gases in it? Do you know how many miles and miles and miles of capillary bloods you have in you? Do you know that you are you aware that 100,000 times a day your heart beats? You take it all for granted. And we accuse everybody else and we move clumsily. We're not sensitive enough. We're not aware of the great kingdom that you have a custody of, which is your body. The senses, the gross of it and the subtle of it, all of it is being permeated by Al-Latif, the subtle power of Allah through the ruh. So you are a ruh caught in a body in order for the ruh to be realized and recognized. That is why we love peaceful sleep. We love good companionship. We do not want to be constantly disturbed and given bad news. Bad news is discordance. But most of us live discordantly between our heart and our mind. The two need to be unified. If your mind follows the program that we have all of us been given, that we seek the permanent, we seek Allah's perfection, we seek to realize and see Allah's generosity, even when I see that I am being constricted. These are the cause of celebration. And the Eid celebration after the month of Ramadan is indeed that, that we have achieved in a small way to abstain, to mimic a Samad, a bit of abstention, to give the body rest, the mind rest, to become a bit more efficient. You can't think very well. Although many people become aggressive, but even that, so you can watch yourself. The entire business is to do with awareness of your conduct. And that is what we Muslims have endowed with, that wonderful brotherhood of taking a bit of an interest in other people's conduct. He's telling them, look, it does not fit for a man of your caliber to blow up with anger. Anger is simply an expression of failure. I wanted something from you. You did not do it. I'm angry with you. I did not estimate your inability to do it, or the timing, or your lack of skill, or lack of interest, or whatever. That is why we say half of the iman is based on patience. Patience doesn't imply dullness or stupidity. It implies super intelligence. Is there anything you can do to change it? Do it. If not, wait. Do not waste your energy. You only have one heart. You can only act in one direction. It may not be the right time. It may not be the right place. It may not be the right manner. Your own inner psyche may be disturbed. So wait until you are calm and then do it. Bismillah. All of it is Bismillah. Even when you are acting arrogantly. Arrogance is created by Allah in order to humble us, humiliate us, to return back to the path. There is nothing in existence unless it can be seen with a positive light. Indeed, for the real Muslim and the Muslimah, whatever mistake you do, it can be a key that opens up the door of virtue. For you suffering from that mistake, not wanting to repeat it, and then you will be aware of that pitfall in which you have fallen so many times. So it is rahmah upon rahmah upon rahmah upon generosity upon generosity. This is where celebration comes. If there are enough individuals committed to be enlightened, then there will be an enlightened community. Otherwise we end up talking about community and ummah and accuse everybody else, but without having done our own homework, our own transformation, we end up with a lot of information, a lot of accusation, but insufficient spiritual growth and development. I am also optimistic about the Western world. Although it is going through its high-handed, materialistic, abusive neo-colonization, they are also human beings. They are also the sons of Adam. They have gone too far, in a sense. But from that suffering will come the ever-present divine offering. They had, a few years ago, they had this classification of human beings according to color. It's no longer that. It's now very much according to the amount of money you have, or according to IQ, which has been replaced soon by EQ. Not just IQ measurement, it is emotional intelligence, which is very much going to be replaced, already has, by SQ, spiritual intelligence, meaning referring to the highest. Everything else in life is relative. But you and I are seeking something that is permanent. That is the divine precinct in your heart. That is the nur of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Otherwise we end up religious, superstitious, and everybody thinks he has the right religion and everybody else hasn't got it, killing each other as we have been for centuries. The hope is that Allah's presence, Allah's nur, Allah's ways have always been the paramount dominant factor and force in this life. It's up to us to embrace it. follow it, submit to it, be in true Islam, you'll be thrilled how Allah is forgiving, how Allah is accepting. But you and I have to pay a price for our mistakes. But tiny price. A good deed will wipe out so many of the wrong deeds. Allah says, Azza wa Jal, any good deed will be multiplied by 10 times. Look at the generosity. So when you and I fail or fall, take that as a good sign and resolve within you that you do not want to suffer. No human being wants other than everlasting joy. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think you'll be allowed even by tongue to say that I am a mu'min and you will not be tested and tried for your own sake? Allah does not need testing and trying. It is evolvement. It is you and I as we evolve. I said I like to be generous, but have you been really generous? I like to donate, but donate for what? Who is the giver? All of it is from Allah. You can at best be a conduit, a small flesh representing rahmah of Allah, goodness of Allah, forgiveness of Allah, tolerance of Allah. So these are the qualities that a mu'min will absorb from the Quran. Then also the community. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا. Allah says, and if people or nations truly live their iman and are keeping to the boundaries, not transgressing as many of us do, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ. Allah will open up from the unseen, from the heavens and earth. But the qualifications must be right. It's no use if you say, I want to drive well, and you don't see the map, you don't read the map, you don't apply the map. Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim. You'll bang everywhere and everybody will bang you. You have to be accountable, responsible. And responsibility begins with yourself, not putting up a face. People in the West have not had the prophetic teaching in a clear way. They went through the Renaissance and the Reformations, and the whole thing came up in a hodgepodge, and therefore it ended up quite rationally, quite expectedly, secular. Because there was so much, nothing other than warfare. Even now, look at Ireland. But we don't need to do that. We Muslims have to, if we behave ourselves, return back to the early days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine yourself in Mecca, surrounded by enemies and ignorant and stupid people. Arrogant Arabs. They're still there. So imagine yourself in that situation, and you find the others are really the same as you, your brothers and sisters. They are doing their best. And then you become more and more instantly aware of your intention. And then you become ready for departure. He who is ready for departure is qualified for arrival. If not, you are out of balance. So we celebrate our deen. We celebrate the prophetic path. We celebrate the clarity that we have been given by the glorious Prophet who summed up what went on before him. But equally, we have such a rich heritage from the great people who came after, Tabi'un and later, and the awliyas and the imams and the Ahlul Bayt and the great enlightened shuyukh of the various tariqas. The world now has reached a point of globalization, and so will Islam. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا. The Prophet ﷺ says, it began as a stranger to the people to whom it came. They all said, but we don't do this. This is not the habit of our parents. Allah and the Prophet ﷺ says, and it will always be renewed. And the Muslims said, but this is not what we were used to. So we must accept the culture that you have come from. Indian, Pakistani, Turkish, Madhab, it doesn't accept it, but move beyond. Get back to the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't accuse everybody else and you make yourself feeling a bit cozy, a bit better. You feel better for a moment and you feel miserable for the rest of your life. Forgive your parents, forgive those who went before us, forgive the ignorance of the Muslim leadership and move on. Otherwise you're under a burden of historical, if you like, consciousness that have been accumulated and it's impossible for you to work out. Forgive them. Allah is all forgiving. Care for your real self, which is your heart. Don't put anything in your heart. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes that as, and when there is an enemy facing you, you regard him as a dear friend. If you don't do that, that means your heart is full of poison and pus. You have to have love for the others who are less than you, less competent, less able. It doesn't mean you rely on them too much. No, have an understanding. Be compassionate. Allah is the compassionate. So you have to imitate Allah. If you love the divine names, then you love all those attributes which you and I need to take a little bit of. A little bit of generosity, a little bit of patience, a little bit of compassion. This is the path to celebrate and enjoy and be joyful about it. And be concerned and be cautious to not enter into that arrogance that alhamdulillah we did a lot of taraweeh and so on. Allah does not need that. Allah needs you to abandon totally unto Him as you were in the womb, as you will be in the tomb. This is how it is. This is a cause to be delighted, not to be heavy. So Allah, now here. You have responsibility for yourself first. And every other self is the same. Allah Azza wa Jal says, pairs and pairs and infinite. One self. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ أَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. Within that self lies the shaitan, but the light of Rahman ever shines also there. Turn to the Rahman and avoid shaitan. So you have made use of shaitan instead of it made use of you. We have the map, but if you don't want to drive along it, it won't happen. By driving cautiously, Bismillah, Bismillah, you find that Allah's Rahmah was always there, but you and I were looking somewhere else. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us worthy of being Muslims. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us worthy of being followers of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us worthy of the practices of Islam and for our salat to be transformative and a mi'raj. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillah.